What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 51 of The Overview. I'm Chamian V, and joining me today is my co-host Fish Sticks. What's up, buddy?
Hey. I know I was only gone for 1 week, but it feels like it's been a long time. I don't know why, but we're back. Dude, I'm back, I guess.
That's because there's always so much to talk about.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's waiting for the Overwatch League. No, guys, there's like news, craft load of news and matches and everything every week. But we've got a first-time guest, and love these first-time guest shows. It's amazing. From Team Rogue, we've got Wins. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Awesome. So you back home now? You back in Vegas?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome, man. All that traveling. Yeah.
Before we get started, Wins, I was just looking at your Twitter profile because you just followed me. Thank you for the follow.
You're welcome.
But I was looking at your profile. It says five-time champion in 5 different FPS titles. So yep. For those that don't know who you are, What are those 5 FPS games that you have world championships in?
Okay, ESWC 2005 on the Unreal Tournament 2004. Then wow. Quake 4 and ESWC 2006. And then I had, Shootmania.
It's 3.
That's ESWC 2012. And then I won 2 DreamHack and a QuakeCon on Quake Live.
Okay.
And then, well.
And Overwatch. Now Overwatch. All right, Overwatch. There's 5. There you go.
Yes, man. So long time. I didn't actually realize you were such an FPS competitive player so long.
I didn't know about the Unreal one. I knew about the Quake and Shoot Mania, but there you go.
Old school.
Pretty,
he's an OG.
Repertoire.
He's an OG.
Old man of esports.
Exactly.
Still
old OM.
You've got it.
Good stuff, man. Well, we got a lot to talk about. I figured we would start off with, an interview with Wins here, kind of getting caught up with him, how everything's going, getting his thoughts on meta and things like that. And then we'll jump into things like the patch today and the PTR changes, Lucio, of course, news as always, and then round things out with some Apex talk and maybe some other events too that are going on. But first off, yeah, let's talk to you, Wins. Let's get caught up with you. And, I know you guys have been obviously traveling a lot, in the last several months. One big move, though, is that you guys have moved to Vegas as a team. So wanted to ask you guys how that's been going on and how you've been adjusting to that.
Oh, yeah, it actually taken a while. It has taken a while because we arrived a month ago now, and it took a while to get the apartments and to get the application processed and everything. So we finally moved in like maybe 4 or 5 days ago. In an apartment, and that's been really good. Like, it's a very good apartment. Like, that's a new complex. It's all brand new. We have a 1 gig connection, so we can't really complain.
Nice.
Nice.
The most
gig?
Important part.
Oh,
yes,
my God,
of course.
Awesome.
We made sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Are you guys all like connected in the same apartment building, or do you all have different setups?
Yeah, actually, we have different apartments, but yeah, we are in the same building. In the complex, so like we are 30 seconds walk away.
Okay, so not all in the same room and that whole bit. Okay,
now we kind of need the privacy a bit.
yeah,
we've been at the hotel and practicing in the same room for a month. That's enough. Kind of need to,
that's enough. The room starts smelling a little bit after a while when you're in there. So,
very true.
Yeah, gotcha. How do you like Vegas, just generally? I'm assuming you guys aren't like actually in Vegas. You're just probably right outside of Vegas, correct?
On the southwest. But yeah, we're quite close to downtown still, like maybe 20 minutes ride.
Oh, so, okay. That's really close.
The sun is not treating me so well. The sunlight, bare skin still.
The desert, man.
You don't go outside in Vegas just at all. Just avoid it at all costs. But actually getting a question, chat. Do you guys have is there like a common practice room that you guys have in Vegas or when you're playing online?
We would have one eventually, not just yet, which we are fine with, but like we would have one eventually to prepare for the big tournaments. Yeah, an office.
Gotcha. And for those of you that don't know, Wins is with Rogue, who is based out of Las Vegas. So one of their investors is Steve Aoki, who's out there. So they've now planted down their roots finally here in North America. Glad to hear things are going well. So, first of all, congrats on the win yesterday, 2 days ago. Alienware Monthly Melee. You took that one down. That's actually your second Alienware Monthly Melee in a row that you have won since you've moved to the NA. What do you think of the NA scene in general and the competition out here?
Yeah, on the first one, I was not impressed, I have to say. Like, it was pretty all the way through. We only lost one map in the grand final against Emerge, and we played like not so good. But Selfless, the other day, yeah, they gave us some trouble. They are not very adaptable. Like, they don't really change their comp, but like, they play whatever they're most comfortable with. And their order, again, Tracer and Soldier, especially, are very, very good.
Okay, so that's two wins in a row. And yeah, that was honestly one of the closest series I've seen in recent memory. It was in best of five.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was two best of fives that both went 2-3. Really, yep. Really came down to the last point. And even on the very last map on Gibraltar, it was really, really, really close. So I want to ask you a bit about the meta that we saw unfold during this tournament. You guys seem very set on playing a very specific composition with Tracer, Genji, Winston, Soldier 76, sometimes flexing around a little bit on supports. But what is it about this composition that you love so much?
Well, it's all about being able to play the comfort pick as well for us. Like, Sunny is so good on Tracer, like it's a waste not to have it, not to have him on it most of the time. And then it's all about adaptation. We don't switch that much. Like, we only switch the support whenever we are facing a heavy tank comp. We switch off from the Ana to actually go for a Zen because we need that much burst to actually be able to kill them. But yeah, it's about the comfort picks, really. And you always have to go for the Soldier high ground anyway, so you need like the Monkey Genji to be able to get there. So it makes sense for us.
So it's not so much that you think this composition is like the strongest comp in the game, it's just what happens to work best for your team.
Yeah, it's the strongest for us. And we've tried to play tanks a while back, maybe 3 months ago, and it didn't go so well. Like, that's not our thing. We like to play aggressive. So that's more our style.
Makes sense. And I mean, Tracer right now, I mean, talk to me about this character. Like, almost everybody is now playing Tracer on attack and a lot of the time on defense too. This is not necessarily brand new, but it certainly seems to be becoming more and more popular. You know, what do you think it is about Tracer right now?
Well, the thing is, against the dive comp, it's very good because while it's not very easy for a Genji, or it's not easy for a Monkey, it's good for the dive and it's good against the tank comp as well. Like, it's hard to catch her. The only way you're gonna kill her is if you actually hook her with Wardog, or if you just, you know, one shot her with the right click, which is not gonna happen very often. And the ultimate as well is very good against the tanks. You can blow up anyone right away with just the bomb, and you can build the bomb so fast that it's just a powerful character against both comps.
So in NA, do you have any like scrim partners that you're going against more than others? Like, who are your favorite teams to play against?
We try to play against everyone because it's nice to actually face every style and every composition. So we can't really go. If we only play against Selfless, for example, then we get practice against only one composition. So that's not going to help us against like the other teams, and we can get surprised, you know, strategically and compose-wise. So yeah, we try to play against everyone. We don't really have a couple of teams that we play against.
So you have go ahead. You want to follow?
I was just going to say, yeah, no, just looking forward to the next events.
Yeah,
Chris, if you want to take this.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about the Overwatch Pit Championships, which you guys will be participating in next. And of course, a lot of those NA teams that you played against even the other night will be participating on that, as well as some other teams, some of the other top teams in this region. Any specific team, maybe outside of Selfless, that's caught your eye, or maybe you're looking forward to playing or seeing them getting better?
Honestly, no. Like, we haven't had any trouble except against Selfless. So, like, nope.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. Like, Selfless, you go back 2-3 weeks ago, 1 month ago, nobody was talking about them as one of the top teams. They've just had this, like, insane ascendance over the last 2 weeks, really, to make it to this point. I mean,
they had one really good tournament.
They've been gaining momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just really interesting because they played with a very different style to you guys. It just seems like right now, while you know, Rogue is really set on this dive comp meta, mm-hmm. other teams like Selfless are playing with a Roadhog and a Reinhardt every single time. So meta seems to be in a pretty interesting spot right now, which is at least decent. But I think that's a decent segue because just a couple of hours ago, we had a huge patch hit with a lot of different things coming. And you know, we've got even the PTR changes, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. But I'm interested to get your perspective, Wins. Those of you just tuning in, Wins, you used to play a lot of Zarya and some other roles mm-hmm. back in the day. Now you're on the Lucio role. And this patch actually has some pretty substantial changes coming to both Ana and Zenyatta. And we have some even more changes coming to Lucio in the PTR. The changes here, Ana's damage has been nerfed from 80 to 60, so she can't 1v1 quite as well. Can't participate quite as well. And Zenyatta's right click was actually buffed, so the cooldown on his Orbital Destruction is a little bit less. Actually, I think that's going to be a bit more significant than people think. What do you think about the support meta? Because like we mentioned before, we're seeing Zenyatta's come into play sometimes. You know, if there's Pharah in the action, you still sometimes see Mercy. Seems like it's a pretty good spot. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if it actually buffed, maybe not buffed then, but if he actually made it a bit harder to hit, because Ana is a pain in the ass to hit, but then it's like a floating head. Like, if the Tracer is around, like, he's dead. So I wouldn't mind if I actually decrease the hitbox a bit, because, yeah, he's a free kill, pretty much, if they are running a decent Tracer, that is. The nerf on Ana is justified. Like, 80 was way too much. Like, she's too versatile. Her toolkit is too good. And she finally is getting a nerf on that. Lucio is still mandatory because of the speed. That's a shame. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And Mercy is very situational, I would say. It depends on enemy comp. It depends if you can actually run a Pharah. But it's not a bad role. Actually, the change they made on the revive is quite annoying and makes her quite powerful now. But it's hard to run her with Pharah, because then if you're running a tank comp, a heavy tank comp, then you're going to lack on damage a bit if you don't have the Zen and you have the Mercy. So it depends on the comp. Like, every hero can work, but you still have to have the Lucio, I guess.
Do you see any of these changes that came out today being very, you know, effective on the current meta? Like, do you see anything changing? Because
I don't think that's going to change much. No, like, we're nerfing the Ana's damage, but she's not being used for damage. Like, she can defend herself, but that's not going to be a big impact. That's not going to change the comp, I don't think. And Orisa either. We tried it. Like, it's always hard to tell because we can predict stuff based on the patch note and everything. But like, whenever you play her, you need to actually learn how to abuse her in some way, and her abilities and whatever. Like, but I think the Orisa is not going to be effective against the dive comp because it's a projectile based hero, so that's too hard with the Kenji and the Tracer. And like, the only one you can actually hit properly is the Monkey. I don't think they're going to pick it against us. I don't think they can make it work against us in our comp. But not much yet.
As someone that plays a decent amount of Pharah, I'm super happy about these Ana changes. The fact that Ana could, like, three-shot a Pharah from across the map at max distance is kind of frustrating. So I think everyone out there is probably happy just to see Ana tuned down a little bit more. I like how Blizzard has been approaching Ana. Like, some of the PTR changes seemed like they were a little bit too extreme, but yeah, let's keep adjusting Ana until she's kind of where we think she should be at. Does this put her into that spot where you could choose Zen, you could choose Ana? Like, she's not, I mean, she's still really good, obviously. Like, her healing's her main benefit. Does this put her in a spot where you think she's reasonable, or do we need to see more changes?
Yeah, I don't think it changes much. I think he's still very powerful. Her ultimate is literally a 3-1 fight, unless you fuck it up. So that's still very strong. I don't think it's going to change much, nerfing or damage. I think she might need, like, she's still the strongest healer in the game by far. So if any team is playing a heavy tank comp, they're going to have to go for the Anadus because it's that strong with that comp. And yeah, the ultimate is still probably overpowered a bit. Maybe we need to tune it down.
Really, the alt still, you think?
Yeah, 50% of everything is like, yeah. It's
because a nano blade, nano visor, mainly. Yeah.
You can't do anything against it unless you take a few characters to counter it. Like, you need to go for D.Va if you want to counter the visor and the nano boost. Like, you have no choice. Even if you have her, like, you're not 100% sure to be able to get in time to the soldier and deny him before he actually gets two kills. Like, it goes so fast. And if he flanks, you're fucked. That's the way it works. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind if I actually nerfed it, the ultimate a bit more. And, yeah, see. Actually experiment on it.
All right. So another change actually coming in this patch as well that might be good for you guys is Winston's barrier now starts, the cooldown starts as soon as he places it instead of after the barrier is dead. This is reverting a change that they made earlier on in the game's life cycle. Is this a significant change, minor change? Are you happy about this?
Again, that's going to depend on the composition they're playing, because if they're playing a Rodog base comp, then they're going to destroy the shield right away anyway, so it's going to recharge right away. But if they're playing a comp that can't destroy the shield very fast, then it's a significant change. Okay. But yeah, obviously, anything that's going to buff for comp is always welcome by us.
Yeah,
I mean, the biggest
happy about that.
The biggest possibility is Ariza, right? Just because she's a brand new entity entering the game, so that always takes a few weeks.
Right? Yeah, you have yet. Like, I remember when Ana was released. Everyone thought it was actually garbage and no one used it, but it was actually so OP. And it took a while before people actually figured out how to abuse her and her ultimate. They finally pulled out the Reaper, and I think we might see the same thing with any new hero, really. Like, we don't really know what's possible with Ariza yet. Like, it's going to take a bit of time to figure out.
Well, speaking of new heroes that we haven't fully explored their potential, Sombra also got a buff.
Yep.
Pretty minor buffs. The translocator cooldown is now 4 seconds instead of 6 seconds, and teammates can see hacked health packs through walls. Neither of these are like earth-shattering changes at all. And I noticed particularly you guys don't really seem to use Sombra. What do you think about Sombra? Have you tried using her in scrims? You know, what do you think about her versatility, particularly with dive comps as well?
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty good with dive comp, especially against the heavy tanks comp, because it's going to remove the shield with ultimate. And she can build the ultimate so fast. Even faster now with the cooldown reduced on the translocator. So she was actually, I think, in a good spot. Just people are actually underestimating her, I think. Like, we have trouble on the King of the Moon maps against Liquid just because they were using Sombra and she was wrecking the back lane all the time.
Really? Wow.
I think you need... The only way we actually found to counter them is to not play with anyone on the ground. Just Pharah, Mercy, Genji. Wow. Yeah, that's very the way you go with Sombra. It's actually quite strong, but people still have... The thing is, it's a very technical hero. Like, you need to play a lot to actually be able to abuse her. And you need to know which pack to hack and how to aggress them and to build your ultimate fast. So, yeah, it takes a lot of experience and time, I think, to actually be able to play good with her. But I think she's in pretty good place right now.
And we're starting to see her just a tiny, tiny bit more, you know, even in Apex, too, just on certain moments, certain key points and maps, particularly, like, usually first point, you know, we'll see her just for a little bit. And kind of like how that's about as much as I want to see Sombra. I don't think I'd like to see Sombra in every single game. Mm-hmm. Just having her just be spot uses would be great.
Yeah, I think she's going to be very annoying with the 4 seconds cooldown.
Yeah, that's huge. I think that's pretty big, right? Just the
very slippery character now. Well, she was already slippery, but now she's going to be able to exit out of situations really fast.
She's
then get back in.
She's a Zenyatta nightmare.
She is, definitely. Well, anything else to really talk about today's patch? I mean, if not, we can go move on to the PTR changes.
Well, I'm kind of interested to just theory craft about Orisa. Wins, you're saying that you don't think Orisa is going to be very good against dive comps, and I see why. Yeah. Obviously, her primary fire is a slow projectile, so it's going to be pretty hard. But right before this, right before we jumped on air for the podcast, I was playing around on ranked, and you can actually just spam her gun through doorways. Like a tracer in the middle of that spam for like a half second is like almost dead instantly. So I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see. I'm not like 100% sure that she won't be able to counter at least tracer out of this. I mean, obviously if you're in the air as Pharah or Genji, it's a lot different, but tracer can basically just get like owned by Orisa spam coming through the doorways. I mean, what do you think her place is going to be generally, Orisa as a character?
I think you're going to have to play, you're not going to have to play her in a very heavy tank comp. And like you said, Tracer is going to be vulnerable against Orisa, but Tracer is vulnerable against anything. Like if you eat her, like she can die. Like not just Orisa, like that's not because of Orisa. Like she won't be the counter to Tracer at all. And I think like whenever we engage, we have the monkey shield, so they're going to be protected from that. And Orisa has a shield, but it's very, very easy to go past when you play the dive comp. So, like, that's not going to be effective against the dive comp, I don't think.
Yeah, so a lot of people were originally, when they were talking about Orisa, or even some of the designers, were, you know, talking about her being an alternative to being in an anchor tank, you know, alternative to possibly Reinhardt. I was going to ask you, do you see that happening, given that Reinhardt is just good. I don't think people talk about it enough. He's just so flexible and versatile as an anchor tank.
A cooldown based shield is never going to be as good as Reinhardt. Like he pulls it out whenever he wants, whenever he needs. That's and that's a 2,000 shield as well.
Even movement
can move.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah.
I think we've never talked about Reinhardt nerfs. Like ever, so I'm wondering, you know, if it's
I don't know kind of enough it, like, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Having Orisa be,
I don't think he's OP. I don't think he needs enough, but like, you need better auto tanks.
He's a really well designed character.
Yeah,
I think
he's great. He might be too well designed for them to figure out an alternatives for him. Okay, so Orisa, you're thinking in heavy tank, just meta, so. Four tank type of metas where you can get another one.
I mean, I'm thinking of that, but like, again, it's gonna take time to figure out how we can abuse her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like the ultimate?
It might.
Do you like the ultimate at all?
It's not bad, but like, we play dive comp. I don't think we can use it effectively with dive comp.
That's true.
That's the thing.
I can't help but feel like she could have used some sort of charge ability where she could actually move faster.
Yeah.
She feels really slow.
Yeah.
That's her biggest weakness.
She has a lack
of
mobility, definitely.
Well, before we move on, any more thoughts on the current meta, you know, today's patch, the state of the meta? Do you think there's any glaring issues that you'd like to see fixed, or is it pretty good right now?
I'm pretty satisfied with the changes because it actually helps us. So,
yeah,
we're gonna have to see about the Lucio's changes on the PTR.
All right, that's exactly what we want to talk about next.
We're gonna segue into PTR currently has a very large Lucio change, which I think originally when I heard about Lucio changes, I'm like, yes, okay, you know, we've had all these we've had all these people talking about, oh, I'm so tired of playing the same thing with Lucio and I just felt like it was a call to maybe change Lucio so that you could play a different support hero. But it ended up resulting in just changes to Lucio, not even necessarily a nerf. So that's one thing I guess I'd like to get your opinion on, is just whether you think it's a nerf or not. And then just maybe we can dig down into each of these. But just to sum up some of the changes. So his Sonic Amplifier, which is his his left click, is the speed is increased from 40 to 50 now. His boop now has a vertical orientation to it. So if you've seen some of the funny videos that have already been posted with Reinhardt charging right over Elysio because of the boop and things like that, it's been definitely been amusing and powerful for a lot of people. The area effect for the songs, you know, the E, has been, or just generally has been decreased from 30 meters to 10 meters, which is huge. I think that's probably one of the biggest
things. It's not just the E, I think it's a aura as well.
Yeah, it's aura too.
Yeah,
basically everything. And now you actually see an indicator too. So you'll see like the circle around them. Teammates know how close they need to be, which is good. I like that. The heal song now, it has been increased by 50%. He's a better healer now because of that. Sound barrier radius is decreased from 30 meters to 20 meters. Not quite as drastic as the song area effect, but still a reduction. And then the wall riding, his movement speed is now 30% faster, and then he gets a burst of speed when he jumps off of the wall, which has been pretty interesting too. Watching some of those Lucio videos have been pretty interesting. Okay, so what do you think about this, Wins? Is this, first off, is this a buff or a nerf?
It depends the competition you're running, I guess. Okay. I will get into it. Like, okay, the projectile speed increase is actually very welcome. No more no helium balls. Like, it was too random. Like, you felt so impactful because of it. But yeah, the thing is, they are nerfing the radius a lot on the aura. And I think that's going to nerf the dive comp. And that's going to buff the heavy tank comp, where they can just move together at the death ball, especially with the healing being buffed a lot. So with the dive comp, the only way I think you can actually play it now is if you play with your back lane and just play defensive, disengage with them, heal them, and then you can't really use the wall hide ever because you just have to play passive. So I have mixed feelings about this. Like, I guess it's going to feel better to use the projectile speed anyway, the new one. But like, I don't know. I think that's going to make the dive comp worse. Maybe not even usable, perhaps, because that's going to be impossible to be in range of Genji and Tracer, which just go very deep all the time. Like, you can't follow them, even with the boost on the movement speed, I think. So we're going to have to see how it plays out. I'm not sure. I think we have to increase the radius a bit just on the aura. I think that's 2 meters is way overkill. Maybe 15, 20, whatever.
Yeah.
I
definitely agree with you on that. And I'm actually glad we have you on the show this week to talk about these changes because you are now playing Lucio for Rogue. And going from 30 meters to 10 is actually insane. Like, it's hard to even realize like how big that change is. It's basically to make it so Lucio has to be right up next to his teammates in order to be giving them any kind of aura whatsoever. And I understand the mentality here. I mean, this is a direct response to this common perception, this common thread within the community that playing Lucio sometimes doesn't feel super impactful. You're kind of just standing in the middle of your teammates. The gun projectile speed, you're going to be able to do a little bit more damage, you know, feel a little bit more effective. The increase in healing rate, the rate of healing, and also the rate of speed is going to make it so when you're healing, you feel like you're doing a little bit more actively. And of course, the buff to wall riding is going to make him so hard to kill. I mean, Lucio is already hard to kill when he's speed boosting around, jumping around a card. I can only imagine at what it's going to be like at lower tiers if you just have Lucio's like spinning around the room. So
riding.
All of these changes.
They're showing on the pillars. I'm going to be a second point.
Yeah. Exactly. So all of these changes fit this narrative that Lucio doesn't feel super, super impactful to play. But what it seems like it's going to result in is that Lucio is just going to have to play super tight with the whole team. Like, to actually be effective with a Lucio, everyone's going to need to be like within this very small radius, which, like you said, Wins, is going to make playing dive comps much, much more difficult. You're going to have to play right up next to the Lucio. And it sounds like it's actually going to be a buff to like the death ball comps of old.
Yeah, it will. Like, the hitting is going to be insane, actually, especially with Ana's nade on the tanks.
Yeah, that's right.
From the Lucio. He's going to get many more ultimates for the tanks. that's going to be so hard to actually be in range ever of the Tracer and the Genji if you play dive. Like, I don't think you can actually go through the Reinhardt shield, because Reinhardt, when you play dive, Reinhardt only focus one guy. It's Lucio.
that's
the only one you can hit.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this. Like, maybe individually that's gonna feel better because of the projectile speed increase. But, yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to try it. I'm just wondering what the motivation is for changing it. I mean, because they said in this developer's comment that it's like they felt like it's a must pick due to its raw healing and output and the versatility of it. But it's like it's still a must pick. I don't think they've changed that at all. Just
they're trying to make the speed harder to use, so it's not as mandatory even with the dive comp.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the thing, they don't the tank comp, they don't really need the speed anymore. Like, they can you can just heal through, I think, the damage if you're engaged, because that's gonna be too much heal with the Ana and the Lucio now, and the tanky comp.
Right.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this.
Yeah, well, me too. I mean, I play Lucio's probably like my second most played character over all seasons so far. I definitely agree with you on the mixed feelings part. That said, like, in theory, I've said this so many times on the show in the past, like, in theory, anything that increases the skill cap for any character and makes opportunities for teams to actually have to coordinate more closely together, in theory, I like those things. I like things that make the game harder and, like, increase opportunities for coordination and, like, force teams to be more coordinated. But this specific change, I mean, for the reasons we already said, it just seems like it's going to encourage potentially these more death volley comps, and dive comps a lot of fun to watch. Like, everybody likes watching, you know, dive comps.
I'll be very disappointed if the meta in the pro scene turns into just
full
death ball comp again. That is terrible. Like, I'm just going to come out and say that is terrible, because what we've been watching lately has been so awesome and fun to watch. And the death ball, we all know the death ball meta, it's a like universal thing. Like, it's something that happens across the board. It's not something that just only happens on one map or a couple maps. It happens on every single map whenever that meta is strong. And that was not a great period for us, which was, you know, happened a few months ago. So if we get back to that, that's going to be very disappointing. And especially with Overwatch League coming up, come on, we got to get the meta in like an awesome spectating type of shape.
Yeah, it was a nightmare to play as well. Before they nerfed the D.Va and Rodog, and before you had to run a quad comp yourself. Because if you run anything else, like the whole death ball feels untouchable. You can't go on any of them without actually dying. And you have to run the same comp and just try to outplay them. But like, that's kind of random, because then it all comes down to ultimate and not actual skill. So that's disappointing.
Exactly. And even just the great ooh and awe plays, they just don't happen as much whenever you're watching that type of meta go against each other. So I guess the question is what can they do to maybe still keep that increase in skill cap for Lucio generally, and then but still keeping, you know, dive comp, I guess, alive? Just lowering it down to, I mean, or increasing the meters to the aura effect to 20? Is that enough? Or is that still going to kill dive comp?
No, I think that would be enough, but it's hard to tell, because the increase on the healing as well is so insane that that's going to be hard to kill any heavy tank comp, I think.
Right.
Like, with Ana and Lucio healing just as much now.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it's hard to imagine. Maybe you might have to focus Lucio more now. That's the thing. Heal so much, like, maybe that's just what we have to do to adjust.
Boring Ana.
Here's what I would have done. This would be my dream Lucio changes, is bring it from 30 meters to 20 meters and only buff the rate of fire, or sorry, the projectile speed and the damage of his gun, so he could actually fight. And then maybe make his, like, I like the wall riding giving a speed boost.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. Make him faster, make his gun do more damage. You can maybe tone down his radius a little bit. But that would be my dream Lucio chamber.
Yeah, I think what you've been wanting from, you know, Lucio, or even generally since we started this show, you know, from a support hero is just a more offensive support hero. And I wouldn't mind if Lucio took that direction instead of more of a healer. Like, that's definitely not what we need. I mean, one of the biggest complaints
Beta
in the
Lucio?
Wait, which
so
one?
So much fun, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just Lucio. When Lucio's projectile actually did more damage, you could 1v1 Tracers. It felt so good. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, actually, 1v1 Tracers, that's not... I don't think that's necessarily unreasonable. You know, I think he... Lucio should be able to at least do decently against Tracer. Unlike, you know, Onivers Genji and thinking of crazy stuff like that, which we see sometimes. But with the healing, you know, one of the biggest complaints we've seen, you know, during the tank comp and everything is just that there's too much healing in Overwatch. You know, what we're hearing from some of the pros. And this is just increasing that even more, right?
Yep. And I don't know what to think yet. We have to play it before we actually make a judgment.
Yeah.
True.
I'm just concerned about the increased healing.
I'm gonna give
one note. When we saw the most recent Ana changes go to PTR, everyone was kind of freaking out, and I called it on the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
Not all of these changes are gonna go to live, and guess what? Only one of the changes actually went to live. I think it's very much the same case here. Like, it just feels like we've gotten to the point where Blizzard, they're gonna try a lot of things in PTR now, and I don't think this is going to go through the way it is right now. I would bet a lot of money on that.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, you're right. Like, just big changes, and maybe they'll dial it back. This is different than Ana, though. Ana was like a straight nerf, and then we buffed Zenyatta too. So, I mean, it was this knee-jerk react, you know, that switch over to Zen for a lot of people because of just those two changes happening at the same time. So dialing back on both of them, I think that was a good decision on their part, and maybe they'll still inch it up a little bit. This is more of, I don't even know what you call it. I mean, I was thinking this is more of a redesign attempt, but
yeah,
it's kind of like a redesign, but kind of a, you know, just pseudo nerf buff action here. So I don't think they've changed it drastically enough for a redesign. And at the same time, I think they've, like you guys have talked, they've buffed it on certain comps and they've nerfed it in certain comps. I'm not sure that was what was intended for him.
Yeah, I see what they're trying to accomplish. They're actually trying to make positioning to be a thing.
Like, right, you need I to don't mind to that.
Yeah.
Instead of being in the middle of the point and just hiding and you're doing your job just by having the aura on and pressing E with 12 seconds. But yeah, I think that's slightly overkill still, 10 meters.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. Are you guys able to play on the PTR? I mean, are there actual scrims going on and maybe getting some data over to the Blizzard guys? Do you know?
No, we had to prepare for the tournament last weekend. So, like, we just played on live.
Okay.
Ulti now, at least.
Well, hopefully they're getting some good feedback. Hopefully some folks are doing it.
Yeah, I think they need doing the Nerfana still, especially the nade. I think it's way too OP. If she eats a nade on four people and you just go in, if you have no chance, it's a bit ridiculous.
Oh, man. That'd be rough. But maybe they'll nerf the nade because of that. Or at least do something to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually did at some point, didn't they? And then they reverted it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was like the last thing, right?
I think they should have kept it.
The
I agree.
Healing portion? Yeah.
I think they should decrease the debuff, actually.
Oh, yeah. The debuff. Okay.
They should actually... Mm-hmm. Be able to heal through a bit, maybe 50% or something, decrease the healing, but 0% is insane. If he hits a good grenade with four or five people, it's a one fight. You don't even have to use ultimate. It's insane.
Yeah, it's basically as good as an ult, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's as well. They're 10 seconds maybe cooldown. It's insane. Nerf that.
That was pretty much, I think, what we were talking about on the show too. Exactly that. That's seems to be the general consensus. All right, well, why don't we, let's talk about some things that are happening in the news. We've had just a couple of things, not too many things. So Ajax and Harblue finally are officially on NRG. I don't think that's any surprise, but any thoughts on that in general? I mean, wins, maybe knowing the guys and everything?
Well, I don't really know Ajax, but I know Harblue is a very good Rodok. So if the Rodok keeps staying in the meta, yeah, he's going to be a very good addition to NRG. And I don't know what to think of the lineup yet, just because they haven't been practicing. They still have Numnock in the UK, I think. I think he just got his visa approved. So he's going to come over in there and they're finally going to start practicing. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's just follow up news to that as well, that they've dropped out of the Overwatch Pit tournament. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to see them for a little bit longer, unfortunately, for all the NRG fans that have been waiting since MLG Vegas to see these guys play again. I don't think they played at anything since Vegas where they didn't look so great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this team play. Of course, it pretty much has like the most star power you could ever have on a single team with IDDQD, of course, Seagull, and now we've got Harblue on there as well. All of those guys have insane stream viewers, so that's going to be a fan favorite team to watch for sure. And I just hope they don't crash and burn, because it's happened a few times now as they keep restructuring this team. So take your time, guys. Looking forward to seeing you play. Good luck.
Yeah, no, that seems like the approach they're taking, right? They don't want to have any bad showings, you know, or at least jump into an event and possibly have another bad showing here. That's good. You know, definitely take that, get as much practice as possible with the new lineup. And we all know, like, right, I mean, especially you guys, Wins, like, right when you get a new roster, you know, it's like, it takes a while to gel, right?
Yeah. Even if it's not a new roster, if you haven't been practicing for a week or so, it feels like you're a new team again.
Yeah.
And you need to get the habits back.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe, I don't know, is there going to be an event after Pit? Do you guys know, is there anything on the schedule, Wins, you know, after Pit?
Dude, there's so little right now.
Yeah.
We keep saying there's so little, but then stuff like continually pops up.
I guess
so.
There's going to be the Alienware monthly meeting next month as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, true. Yeah,
and
they can hop in on
that's it for now.
Yeah, totally. Oh, you know, one thing about the monthly melee we didn't talk about is Runaway played in it. Which was
I think that was silly, stupid. I don't see the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why? That was really odd. I mean, you know, they weren't going to show anything, and obviously the ping was terrible.
I think they never tried before to actually play from Latter Continent. I'm not going to answer that. And they are not going to come back again.
I mean, Korea to the.
Yeah. We've tried this twice actually, last year as Rogue with TK9 Force to play in an American tournament. And it's unplayable. Like, it's so frustrating. You can't actually play your best with that ping. So, yeah, they tried. I don't think they're going to come back.
Yeah, and they're going to get. Seem like it.
Yeah, they're going to let all the fellow Korean know. Yeah, no, don't do it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Next bit of the news, we have a new team being announced, Laser Kittens, which, you know, making news, at least with, here's the ESPN article. Making some big news just because the GM is the former, or started, at least the team started by a former Misfits GM. And you know, it consists of, let's see, it looks like Kib. Wait, is it Kib, Winghaven, Gray?
Zapri,
Nesh, and Spazzo, yeah, and it's obviously founded by.
I love how international this team is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's totally across the board.
All six members are from different countries.
This is like the complete opposite of what you're doing, Wins. are doing.
Yep. Yeah, the thing is, like, Frenchies don't really speak English, so yeah, you're gonna go for it.
It's true.
Yeah, we got one Brit, one guy from Spain, we've got a Swede. I'm not sure where the rest of these guys are. Oh wait, no, Nesh is German.
Team
is all over the place. But it's a pretty interesting lineup. I mean, a lot of familiar names here. Kib, we all know him from his days on Reunited, and of course when he was as a very, very adept Genji. So Genji really strong in the meta right now. Winghaven, obviously, we also know him from the old Reunited days, and guys Zapri. Like Nesh has been around, Zapre's been around, so yeah, this should be a decent team. Looking forward to see how they do.
Yeah, and they're gonna be participating in the Pit Championship too, which is divided into NA and EU.
Yeah,
so they'll be on the EU side. Yay, something for EU.
Yeah, I think we would do okay.
Yeah, I think so too. So that's good news. More, you know, more teams, especially EU teams, popping up. I think there's still plenty of opportunity, or there's still plenty of talent in EU that can assemble these, you know, really, really good teams. It's just there's no events got to get events out for those folks.
Yeah, so in Europe, and yeah, it's in Europe, it's yeah, nothing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Evidenced by the fact that the fully French team is now in Vegas.
I know, right?
And now isn't Misfits like coming out too, or are they out already? I don't even know.
Misfits is in Miami, right?
I think, isn't that the joke? I don't know.
Maybe that's a joke.
Supposed to be? I don't know. I don't know if they are or not. Okay.
But yeah, they're going to make the move eventually. Like, they have to for the league. So, yeah.
They have to settle in a city, though, and how that works. I'm guessing you guys are going to be Vegas Rogue whenever Overwatch League comes out.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, yes. That's the plan.
The hope.
Okay, well, before we move on, I want to give a shout out to some of the folks that are listening to the show on iTunes. You may not realize it, but the show is available on audio channels too, like iTunes and Google Podcasts and SoundCloud. So you can check that out there if you're a big fan of listening to podcasts on the way to work or wherever. And just want to give a quick shout out to the folks that have left us great reviews, just 5-star reviews and a nice comment. Really helps out the show whenever you do so. It helps people find the overview when they're looking for Overwatch podcasts. So big shout out to Min12345678, Rival Dealer, Parker0615, BJoy612. Really, really appreciate it. And we've been getting like a bunch of reviews lately, so really appreciate that. If you guys, you know, are on iTunes and can spare like 1 minute or 30 seconds, that would help us a great deal. Thanks a lot. Okay, next up.
Well, I mean, there's just some tangential breaking news that I'm going to throw in here because it just kind of dropped a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Which is Cloud9 has picked up a Series A funding. So.
Oh, yes.
Another topic that we've touched on the show many times is just how much money is pouring into this damn scene, and Cloud9. It's been one of the very few teams that hasn't taken in a lot of capital, but it does look like they've raised another fund. And they have a crazy list. Like, this is maybe a little bit too inside baseball for everybody, but a crazy list of, like, Silicon Valley folks, people, NBA folks. Actually, Hunter Pence, the San Francisco Giants player.
He's like Joe Montana, dude. I mean, like, yeah, greatest like, of one of the greatest of all time football
Reddit
players.
Co-founder Alexis Ohanian, yeah. Like...
Yeah,
guys from Tesla, the board of directors from Tesla are jumping in. So yet another esports team has just got the money, just pour it in from mainstream sports, from venture capital, from Silicon Valley. This just keeps happening, man. It's crazy. Congrats to those guys, for sure.
Yeah, totally. Does it say how much it was or no?
I don't. I'm looking at this
It's
PvP Live article.
I didn't quite say.
Anywhere between... Wait. Never mind.
Well,
yeah. So, I mean, part of the rumor is like this is part of this money is being secured so that they can bid for an Overwatch League team. So,
yeah, absolutely. And
there you go.
I guess they're bidding as Cloud9, which is really cool. You know, like they're bidding as the team itself. You know, I was anticipating, you know, the joint event, you know, this very merger or partnerships, you know, being of, and maybe just the parent company being the ones that are bidding. But in this particular case, it actually is the esport brand that's going to be. It looks like it's going to be that way. That's really, really cool. Lots of sports folks continuing to get in on Overwatch, and I think this is again just the beginning.
Yeah, that's just the beginning.
Totally.
Exciting times.
Okay,
I don't want to gossip, but yeah, it seems like all the teams are talking about are talking to NBA teams now.
Yeah,
many teams. Yeah.
I mean, there's what 30...
and remember, go back to BlizzCon, and one thing that we were ranting about and we were so impressed by and we thought was so cool was the fact that they had all these traditional esports team owners in the same room as these NBA executives, these NFL executives, venture capitalists, Elon Musk. They were all there, man. So props to I don't know if this is all connected or not. I mean, we're obviously making conjecture here, but I think there's pretty good evidence to say that a lot of this investment is happening partially, at least, because of the potential for Overwatch League. So there you go. Yeah.
That would be.
It's so interesting that it's basketball over some of the. I wonder if it's because of the arenas. You know, like the basketball arenas are they're proper. I think they're better sized for esport events than they are than say a football stadium.
I think conventional wisdom is just like basketball is skews a little bit younger, a little bit hipper, a little bit more digital savvy in terms of its fan base and also the owners and players themselves. So
makes sense. Totally makes sense. Okay, well, why don't we...
A lot more popular than football as well in the U.S.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but... Well, wait, it gets more people than football is what you said?
I think he means...
More popular.
Football.
Oh, football. You mean like soccer? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's definitely soccer. True. Sorry. I was talking about American football. Yeah.
Okay.
Forgot. Sorry, all the Europeans out there.
Yeah. Great rugby.
You just like pissed off all of our European viewers.
Yeah, I know. I know. My bad, guys. My bad. All right. Why don't you talk about events that have been happening? Obviously, the big one is Apex. There obviously was matches that happened earlier today in the morning, but since not all of us have watched it quite yet, I'll probably save it till next week. But why don't we talk about just the other matches that happened on Friday and even just last week, which secured 3 out of the 4 semifinalist spots. So right now we're sitting with Meta Athena, Lunatic High, and Runaway, you know, in the final position. Athena... Yeah, and LW Blue after tonight, today, but, you know, again, like, we probably won't touch on that match quite yet, but LW Blue did secure the last spot. Yeah. So we'll be going into the semifinals. I think they start on Friday, right? I don't think they... Did they give them extra time for the semifinals? I figure they give them, like, a week or whatever for the finals, but I think the semifinals might be starting this Friday, so we'll have to check that out.
Liquipedia to the rescue.
Yeah, exactly. But, you can also, you know, just check out the OGN site, of course. But why don't we talk about some of the Group B matches? You guys caught them all, right? Got a chance to watch them, at least the first rounds of the group stages?
A fair number.
Okay. Yeah. So, what do you think about Meta Athena? I mean, they're the ones that went 2-0, obviously securing that spot first, beating AFB as well as Kungdu Panthera. Actually, beating Kungdu Panthera 3-0 pretty easily. Actually, it was pretty
That's
dominating. Tough. Yeah. Anything stand out to you, Wins, with Meta Athena right now?
Not really. I'm impressed. Actually, did beat that badly Kungdu because they're a very good team, probably one of the best in Korea, I would say. They're gonna play against Lunatic High. Didn't they beat them already once? I think they did.
Yeah, I believe so in the groups, right?
Yeah, so I would say they're probably the favorite now to win the tournament if they keep on rolling.
Yeah, I think at least the way they looked this past week, they have to be the favorite at least when people are looking at it. Ben, what do you think, man? Meta Athena?
Well, I love the fact that their name has meta in it because they don't give a shit about the meta. They're playing, dude. I just love the Koreans, man. Of course, it's the Koreans that are coming up with the most crazy off the wall strategies. You know, boosting entire teams into places that you never thought they'd go.
That
like
was
go
awesome.
All the way around the back on Eichenwald or Eichenwald.
Yeah, let's talk
and, like,
about
boosting
that.
Up like behind the point. Like no one would have ever thought to do that ever. And so glad to see Korea. Like, of course, they're on the ball trying to innovate new things. And it's pretty cool to see that they're having a lot of success with it, too. And I think just the general thing to talk about is both of the Kongdu teams are out. They're both out. Spoilers, guys. These two teams were 3-0 in their groups, and neither of them actually made it through the second stage of groups. Got to give it to Meta Athena. That's a big turnaround.
Not even like that they're both out. It's really about how they looked too. I mean, Uncia did not look good at all when they got ousted. And I would say Panthera looked better. But, you know, Wins, you were just telling me before the show that these two teams are really, really good in practice. So it was a bit shocking.
Yeah, if I had to rate the Korean teams, I would probably put the two Kongdu teams on top two in practice. Like, they are the team we had the hardest. It was the hardest against them. Like Lunatic High, in comparison, whenever we played them, it was not easy, but it was nothing in comparison to the Kongdu teams. But I think they have some issues still. They need to get some experience from the tournament they play in so we can actually handle the pressure better. Because they did actually play well in the group stage, but not much pressure just yet. And then when we have to play better teams, and more organized teams, deeper in the tournament, they don't do as well. So I think they are going to be, if they actually manage it and learn how to handle the pressure, they're going to be probably top five at least in Korea.
So it wasn't a meta change or anything like that, you know, just mid-tournament that might have affected them? You think it's just purely nerves?
Yeah, probably the D.Va nerf as well. Like, they had the sick D.Va on both teams. It probably did affect them a bit, but I don't think too much because they still did very well in the group side and they looked really good. So probably a bit, you know.
So from your experience living and playing in Korea for a little while, you definitely thought that you saw these two Kungdo teams as being the best, right, at the time?
Yeah, when we went to the IEM, actually, we were practicing in the Kungdo's facilities and we played them. We played against them a lot. And it was rough and long days, to say the least. It, you could go like play 18 maps and not win any just because they are that good and consistent.
Wow.
And when we saw they actually lost against LW, it was Red at the time, I think. Yeah, LW Red, which won the tournament like 3-0. And what the hell? Because we didn't play LW Red, so we don't know what to expect. But when they beat Pantera 3-0, we were like, well, okay, well, we're fucked.
Damn, wow.
That's rough.
Yeah, they're insane.
I guess talking about some of the matches, just like Meta Athena in general. I mean, can we just talk about how it's like some of the plays? I mean, some of these matches, like, it's as a like esport fan or as just, you know, it's specifically an Overwatch esport fan. It's amazing when you see just single performances that are just amazing, right? Especially when they have the point of view at the time. And for a few of them with Libero during that Meta Athena coming to Panthera, it was just like, wow, just watching him play Hanzo, actually Libero and Flower, I think both of those guys playing Hanzo on some of these maps were just amazing to watch. And then Libero had that one play with Sombra where he like throws his transporter in the air, warps up there, and then like immediately comes down and hacks the Reinhardt and his team, like wipes the team at that. That was crazy good. Crazy good.
Yeah.
Oh, you have the clip just here.
I actually just went to the OGN. I just went to the OGN Global channel and checked out their top clips. This is the first one, the one you're talking about right now, is this Sombra play. But, I mean, they just have creative play after creative play after creative play. All these different Mei boosts, which were really, really interesting and really fun to watch every time. Boosting, you know, on first point here on Numbani on attack, they were boosted, which is like the next clip. You just go through these clips. It's like meta play after meta play. They boosted a Bastion up to the high ground on the top right, which is also really interesting. So, like, this team is just trying new stuff, and it's cool to see.
Actually, he didn't get the Reinhardt. I thought he got the Reinhardt, actually, when he was down. I guess I might have saw that wrong. But, yeah, there's just been a lot of these type of plays during Apex, and that's great. I mean, as a fan, I love to watch that. I mean, Luna, like, it was the LW Blue versus AFB match. I've never seen Anna do so much damage. It was insane. She was literally carrying at certain points. Awesome. Oh, here's the other clip. Huh? Okay. We're just going to be watching clips today, guys. All right, here's that the Eichenwald one where they boosted up here and then went all the way around the back. There we go. Yeah. They went all the way over the wall. And then came back around. It was so cool. And obviously, they weren't ready for that. Have you ever considered that, Wins?
No, that's very smart because then you get the soldier out of position.
Yeah.
And the runner as well. Especially if you're playing a heavy tank comp like they are, you can't really get to the soldier. He's going to be there and just dealing damage all the way. That's going to be very, much harder. And they actually put their soldier in position instead. So, yeah, that's very smart.
Yeah.
No, we just have the Monkey Genji to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but anyways, if you guys haven't caught the VODs, definitely go and check that out on OGN Global Twitch site, and the VODs are all there. I guess you can check out the clips, too. They're all there, too, if you just want to see the amazing plays.
That's a very high-risk, high-reward scenario, though. Like, if they mess up, their attack, then it took so much time to actually go around. True. They only take one fight in just a minute and a half or something.
Yep. I wonder how many times they practice it, because even just the Ana wall, like them going over, it was so fluid. It was just like instant. Yep. I mean, we're sitting there watching the Mei's point of view, and she's just like, I couldn't see anybody around her. She just knew that they were on, you know, basically on her, and yeah, just threw it on the wall, and they're all up there. So they must have practiced that so many times.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's a decent opportunity to ask Wins a little bit just about how you view the Korean scene versus the West. Obviously, you were there for a while. Sounds like you took some beatings from Kangdu teams while you were there. But I keep hearing conflicting results. Some people say, oh, I think the Korean teams are incredibly overrated. But then we have tournaments like OGN, where some of the best teams outside of Korea all ended up getting knocked out in the group stages, sadly for us Western fans. So where do you think, you live in NA now, you were in EU before, you lived in Korea. How do you think the scenes stack up skill-wise? Should we be terrified of the Korean teams?
They are going to be a force to reckon with, but I would say they were definitely the best with the heavy tank comp, when it was a Soldier or Dog, Reinhardt and D.Va. They had the best tank in the world, pretty much. Like, Panker is insane. With the Eternal Knife on the Kangdu, I don't remember. But yeah, they had the best tanks. So on that meta, they were the best. I think the West can actually challenge them on if the meta changes. Typically, I think we can actually challenge them with our dive comp. I think that's going to be hard for them to actually deal with it, even if they are just as good as they are. I don't think we actually sent the best Western teams to Apex Season 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In
fine words.
Yeah, well, we saw Fnatic didn't do too well on the MMM. Yeah, like,
sure. They've been struggling for a while now.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of mechanics, though, it's not a difference in mechanics, right? What is the big difference?
Team play, and they are more disciplined in general. They play more, that's for sure, but I don't think that makes them better individually. Obviously, they're very good, but I think like Soon can take on any Tracer, for example. I think Nico can take on any Genji.
Yeah.
NAKM is just insane aim-wise as well. It's just they are more disciplined on what they do, and they are more organized.
I mean, I feel like those things are potentially fixable in the West too, right? I mean,
eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
need practice.
Yeah, need practice. Need very structured schedules.
Yeah, you can outskill and out-aim the Korean scene. I don't think they're untouchable. I just think that was a terrible season for the West. The second one.
Okay.
I hope no major patches is going to happen during the season, because that messes things up a lot. Like the first season, it happened literally 4 days before the playoff matches. And then it makes things kind of random, because you're still in the process of figuring out what works best. And I don't think that's good for the competitive scene.
Yeah. Thank goodness the Lucio change didn't make it out today. That would have been pretty rough or pretty crazy to see what happened in the finals of this tournament. Okay, well, anyways, that wraps up Apex. Any other events you guys want to talk about? We talked about a monthly Melee, of course. Carbon Series still going on, of course. Nothing's really changed there. LG Evil still dominating that event so far. LG Evil did play in the monthly Melee, but they ended up losing the Selfless in the semi. Selfless, I think, won maybe 3-1. So it wasn't like super close. I don't believe. There's still some room for them, to go until the next tier. We were talking.
The interesting thing for me is just the shakeup in NA. I mean, 2 months ago, everyone's like, Immortals is the best team in NA. And then, right, a month ago, it's like LG Evil is the best, or Hammers at the time is the best team in NA. Now Rogue's here, and you guys are kind of doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well for yourselves. But now all of a sudden, Selfless is I won't say coming out of nowhere because people yelled at me last time I said that, but they've had a really good rise lately. So it kind of seems like there's a number of teams really in hot contention. You know, Renegades has looked a little bit shakier. It doesn't seem like they have the same Genji prowess as these other teams. But then again, you have teams like Selfless that don't really play with a ton of Genji either. They're really focusing on the Tracer and Roadhog compositions to make that happen. So it just seems like there's pretty, like, the scene seems pretty open right now, you know, for that, like, high tier. Like, a whole lot of teams are trying to jam themselves into that high tier ranking in the West. And Misfits, you know, we haven't seen them in a while. Looking forward to them coming to NA and joining these tournaments too. We haven't seen Envious play in a while either. So, like, honestly, like, I think it's really hard to tell where the Western teams stack up right now, in my opinion.
Even Cloud9 coming back, you know, they're supposed to be coming back looking pretty new now, you know, with Bishop coaching. And I mean, I think the end of Apex, they looked pretty good. They looked better than they've ever looked, in my opinion. For me, the most fun aspect of watching the NA teams recently is that I feel like every team does something a little differently. You know, they come with a little different comps, and you know, there's diversity when watching the Carbon series. It might not be like as high a tier level, you know, as watching Apex, but you see a lot of variety, which is cool. It's fun to watch that, especially when it's competitive too, you know, and the teams are having very close matches. But, you know, Rogue's going to be coming in soon, maybe putting their stamp down, maybe starting with the Pit Championships, we'll have to see. But yeah, see. That's kind of what I expect. Definitely the favorites going into that tournament.
But I think so, after the two MMM, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, I don't think there's any other events really to talk about.
Nope. Not yet.
Yeah, not much. Not much on the horizon at this point. Carbon Series will be coming to its finale pretty soon, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit of an overlap with Pit, but I think the Pit qualifiers are at the same time. Carbon Series.
Oh, wait, I think as a... Sorry. It looks like the Carbon Series finals are this weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend? Oh, I thought it was.
Liquipedia says end date 3/26.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is this weekend. So, I thought it was next week, actually. If it is, check it out. Go check it out for sure on the Carbon. Carbon Twitch channel.
Can anyone stop LG Evil? That's the storyline there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they've been dominating. They're still undefeated. That's pretty... I mean, that's pretty much the team to beat in that tournament. And I was expecting them to do decently against Selfless, to be honest. So watching Selfless handle them like very easily was a bit eye-opening. Just showed you how good Selfless is. And obviously
very insane.
Yeah, I mean, they were up 2-0 on you, and then you guys, you know, won 3 straight on them. I mean, like the first series. So
yeah, that
was already
really
eye-opening.
Thing.
I was like, wow, that was good. Yeah, so no questions. I don't think we have any questions from emails. If you guys want to email us, you know, for next week, go ahead and email your questions to theoverview@chainmanv.tv. But why don't we take, you know, some Twitch chat questions, maybe one or two of those, and we can wrap things up. We went through all the topics.
Sounds good. Sounds
today.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. For once.
Yeah. Maybe for once.
Not having Jason on the show was a no. I'm just kidding.
Ditch this.
Well. Yeah, I know Jason had to ditch last minute. I guess computer.
Oh yeah, for those of you that we didn't quite get a chance to fill you guys in on that. Yeah, Jason had some computer issues, so had to drop last minute. But we were expecting him to be here. Okay, what do you think about Runaway versus LW Blue? I guess that's going to be the first matchup for the semifinals. Yeah, what do you guys
think? I'm going to let Wins take this one. I'll be honest, I haven't been watching these games like closely enough to like have super great opinions on OGS.
Yeah, me neither.
So.
Like, if it was right after IEM, I would say, yeah, LW Blue, easy. But no, I don't know anymore. They've been struggling in that tournament so far.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of got it back together this last, this last series or two. So for me, my tournament favorite right now is Runaway because I kind of told you the last couple weeks now. But LW, I mean, I definitely love watching LW Blue and Flower and those guys playing too. So, Luna was amazing also. I think it's going to be an intriguing matchup. I think it'll be close. I think it's going to be really close, but I think Runaway will take it. That's at least my prediction. We'll see. I think Runaway will finish second in the whole tournament. That's my pick. I think Meta Athena is looking way too good.
Yeah, that's a big possibility. Yeah.
Ask Wins. Oh my God, who's currently better, Misfits or Rogue? Gee, I wonder what he's gonna say.
Yeah, no, that's an easy answer.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm gonna say Rogue.
Let's just talk about how you think things are stacking up, because GoTo Gamers has you number two right now, behind NBS, who's still number one.
Nothing.
Yeah, oh, sure. It's the best that we have for now. But yeah, I mean, people in chat are, it's kind of funny. People in chat right now are talking about like NIP. I'm like, I forgot about NIP. I haven't seen them play in so long. It's just like,
you teams, man.
God. I can't wait till we actually have some legit tournaments with all of the top teams. It has not happened in so long. It's just so hard to know where people stack up right now.
I'd have to wait till Gamescom again in freaking August.
Who knows?
August.
Yeah, NIP is actually one of the hardest teams to deal with when they run the triple tank. They know how to play against it. We didn't have the same trouble when we played against any team.
Bioshin asks, where are the Hanzos? Why are so few people actually playing Hanzo in tournaments? Dude, I saw Hanzo. What do you mean? If you're watching Apex, you'll see some Hanzos. The Wins, like, you guys ever consider playing Hanzo? You have somebody that's good at Hanzo?
It doesn't really go with a dive comp.
Yeah, true.
So, no. And we'll also have Enzo play up.
Couldn't you argue that like 76 isn't really a quintessential part of the normal dive comp either? I mean, you guys are kind of establishing this new dive comp with 76 in it.
True, but like 76 is actually good, even with the dive comp, just because you had consistent damage. And so, like, if you whenever your team goes in and it's actually hard to hit and you miss like a few shots, and then you're 5 against 6. So it's not as reliable, I would say.
True.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can't really nano boost Renzo. That's not very effective.
Let's see. More questions. Anything else? You see anything for Ben?
Looking. There's a question just generally from Tommy Slav, which I think you'd be good to answer here. Seeing Rogue play a lot on their comfort picks makes me ask, shouldn't pro teams have like 8 players to deal with different opponents and swap players in and out? We've seen some of the Korean teams add like 8 or 9 players or whatever. What do you think? Like, I guess just very generally, should this even be allowed in Overwatch? Should you be able to sub players in and out? If you could, would you even want to?
I don't know. That I have mixed feelings about this as well, because I think the best way to approach things is actually to have a 6-man lineup and just stick to it. Make sure you play together all the time. But at the same time, it's you can't be the best at every character. Like, there is no way. Like, for example, Tivik is very good on many characters, but he's not the best on any of them. He's not like Shadowbird. Well, he did fall off a bit lately, but. You can only be the best on a character if you play 24/7. So it would make sense to actually have more players in the lineup to be able to switch depending on the map. But at the same time, you can't. It means you can't switch mid game, and I think that's an issue. So I have like there are pros and cons on both.
Well, let's see. What other French players could you add your team? There's a few out there, but
there's still a few. Other teams, though.
I have a question for you. Do you miss playing Zarya all the time?
Oh, good one.
Maybe I wouldn't miss it if I wasn't playing Lucio. I don't know. Because it's a very ungrateful character to play. Like, you don't see what Lucio's doing, and he's very he feels very impactful. So yeah, obviously, it's more fun to play Zarya. But yeah, whatever. I'm gonna do whatever it takes.
Are you shot calling right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, usually Lucio and shot calling go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Okay, Shock OW asks, what do you think in the future about hero bans? One per team. Let's say an enemy has a one trick Tracer or Genji, or you can ban that. Do you like that?
It could be good potentially, but I think we would need many more characters to actually be able because I don't think we have enough character just yet to actually justify having bans. But I don't know. I think that's going to limit the game too much if you can actually ban the Tracer or the Genji or whatever. If you can ban the Reinhardt, though, like that's going to open up things.
Oh, my God. Then you play Ahriza.
Yeah, totally.
That's how you get Ahriza to be played. Yeah, I think that even just the UI needs to be... I mean, they have to add something even... enforce the banning. You don't want people accidentally picking somebody mid-game and, you know, all that.
Well, Yanni 4309 asks, who's the best DPS in the world?
Mid-game.
Well, that's a very difficult...
is it Soon or is it AKM? Just kidding.
They don't play the same yo. If I was to talk about McCree, I would say AKM. If I was to talk about Tracer, I would say Soon. Just because AKM has a lot more playtime on McCree, and so that has a lot more playtime on Tracer. They just specialized on different heroes. So you can't really say one is better than the other. They're both good at what they're supposed to play.
I miss seeing AKM on McCree.
Big time, yeah.
It's been a long time, man. It's been like Go 76 every time.
Yeah, it's really hard to play against a heavy tank comp. Not very effective.
Yeah. We're starting to see McCree here and there now. Some Pharahs here, some, you know, just Tracers too.
Unko and AKM are in chat asking you to stop talking and go practice.
Yeah. I don't know what time it is. But...
it's a good way to wrap up. And we're just finishing anyway. So, why don't we do some shout outs and wrap up the show? Wins, it's amazing having you here, getting a chance to pick your brain on a lot of what's going on. Do you have any shout outs or where can people find you?
Well, Twitter, obviously, _wins. And, I don't know if I want to make a list of the sponsors and stuff, but I want to thank Rogue. We actually make us move here. Very good people working for Rogue, so I love them. And to my teammates who are waiting for me now.
Yeah. Ben, you got any shout-outs?
Yeah, congrats for taking home 2 Alienware monthly melees in a row. Rogue currently in the runnings for one of the top teams in the West, if not the world. So keep it up, guys, and we'll be watching out for your play moving forward. And yeah, make sure to go try Ahriza this week.
Yes.
Just dropped on live today, just a couple of hours ago. I'm looking forward to playing with this new patch. I think it's cool to see Ana taken down a peg, Zenyatta brought up a little bit. I like that. I like seeing Winston getting a slight buff. So excited to see how the meta is gonna look right now, and excited to play a lot of Winston this week. Might be streaming a little bit as well on my channel, Fishsticks.
Yeah, and just a reminder about Ahriza, it's going to be off of competitive for a week, so you can quick play it for a week, get your practice in as much as you can, or at least get practice playing with Ahrizas, so you don't get too much rage.
That's going to be the usual battle to actually be able to pick her first.
Yeah. Man, I could never pick her first in the PTR. I don't know what determines who gets actually in the lobby first, but I was always like fifth into the lobby. It just wasn't even close. So I never got a chance to play her in that, you know, just a single hero scenario. That's why I'm most excited about getting a chance to play some quick play with her. But I'll round things out by thanking you guys for doing the show, and everybody for watching, of course. The VODs will be up on YouTube a little bit after this. You can go to youtube.com/ChamMV to find all of our VODs. The audios will be available a little bit later too on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as Google Podcasts and all the other podcast apps that you can get on the phone. They pretty much just use the same general feeds that iTunes uses, so you can find them all there too. You follow the show's Twitter at TheOverviewGG, and that'll be it, guys. So for Wins, Fishsticks, and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next week, guys. Later. Ciao.